Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Around the World in 70 Days on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm your host Rhiannon, and today I've selected several pieces of news and I'll be discussing their connection and importance to the Eastern Townships. Let's get right into it. Last week, as an important piece of international news, I spoke about the Inuit, Métis, and First Nations delegations that went to speak with Pope Francis in hopes of receiving an apology for the Catholic Church's involvement in residential schools in Canada. On Friday, Pope Francis did exactly that and issued an apology. As such, I've selected a segment of this apology, translated from Italian, to discuss. He said, and I quote, "The chain that passed on knowledge and ways of life and union with the land was broken by a colonization that lacked respect for you, tore many of you from your vital milieu, and tried to conform you to another mentality. In this way, great harm was done to your identity and your culture. Many families were separated, and great numbers of children fell victim to these attempts to impose a uniformity based on the notion that progress occurs through ideological colonization, following programs devised in offices rather than the desire to respect the life of peoples. This is something that unfortunately, and at various levels, still happens today. That is, ideological colonization. How many forms of political, ideological, and economic colonization still exist in this world today, driven by greed and thirst for profit, with little concern for peoples, their histories and traditions, and the common home of creation. Sadly, this colonial mentality remains widespread. Let us help each other together to overcome it. Listening to your voices, I was able to enter into and be deeply grieved by the stories of the suffering, hardship, discrimination, and various forms of abuse that some of you have experienced, particularly in the residential schools. It's chilling to think of determined efforts to instill a sense of inferiority, to rob people of their cultural identity, to sever their roots, and to consider all the pertinent personal and social efforts that this continues to entail. Unresolved traumas that have become intergenerational traumas. All this has made me feel two things very strongly, indignation and shame. Indignation because it's not right to accept evil and, even worse, to grow accustomed to evil, as if it were an inevitable part of the historical process. No. Without real indignation, without historical memory, and without a commitment to learning from past mistakes, problems remain unresolved and keep coming back. We can see this these days in the case of war. The memory of the past must never be sacrificed at the altar of alleged progress. I also feel shame. I have said this to you and now I'm repeating it, sorrow and shame for the role that a number of Catholics, particularly those with educational responsibilities, have had in all these things that wounded you, in the abuses you suffered, and in the lack of respect shown for your identity, your culture, and even your spiritual values. All these things are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the deplorable conduct of these members of the Catholic Church, I ask for God's forgiveness, and I want to say to you with all my heart, I am very sorry." This apology is a first step in the many that lead to reconciliation. In his speech, the Pope also mentioned meeting again in Canada, in an upcoming visit soon, to better communicate. Many Indigenous leaders are also calling for an apology on Canadian soil. This recent apology, however, comes 6 years after the Truth and Reconciliation Commission called for a papal apology. Next steps in this process will include concrete actions in lieu of this apology. These may include actions such as holding Johan Rivoire accountable for his actions in Nunavut, who lives free despite multiple allegations of sexual abuse, as well as unfettered access to church and residential school records, a return of church properties on traditional Indigenous lands back to Indigenous peoples, financial support for survivors, and a replacement of the Doctrine of Discovery, a 1493 papal decree used to justify Christian European explorers' claims to lands and waterways they allegedly discovered, with one that respects Indigenous peoples and cultures. My In some national news that has a clear relationship to Canadian politics and journalism, the federal Liberal government introduced legislation this past Tuesday to make digital giants like Google and Facebook pay news publishers for the use of their content. This bill would lead to these companies having to either pay or go through an arbitration process led by the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission. The idea is that the compensation from these digital giants would be used to fund the creation of news content and to protect the sustainability of the Canadian news ecosystem. According to government data, more than 450 news outlets in Canada have closed since 2008, and at least one-third of Canadian journalism jobs have disappeared. News businesses have struggled to make money from their content after losing major revenue streams like classified ads and print subscriptions. The dominance of advertising, once enjoyed by the media, is now over. Google and Facebook have combined 80% share of all online ad revenue in Canada and earn around $9.7 billion a year from advertising. Now, I have several questions for you to think about. Do you think the government should support journalism? Do you think it should be a priority and an important aspect of daily Canadian life? Or do you think that the media industry should be left to its devices to evolve? Do you think that this piece of legislation will be an effective way of supporting this industry? Or do you think it would create a barrier for access to news, as these tech giants may find other ways of accessing this information, if at all? Now, in a piece of interesting local and provincial news, a group of English-speaking Quebecers are fighting language overhauls by the provincial and federal governments, and they're considering creating a new provincial political party. Colin Standish, from here in Sherbrooke, founded the Task Force on Linguistic Policy last year and said his members of his group and others have formed an exploratory committee to see the possibility of creating a new provincial party in time to run candidates in the 2022 election. The group is seeking what it has tagged political orphans, including English speakers, allophones, Indigenous people, and Francophones. Besides not supporting Bill 96 and changes to the Federal Official Languages Act, they also do not support Quebec's secularism law by the Coalition Avenir Quebec government. The leader of the group said, "It's not a backlash or a protest movement of just a group of Anglophones. We are established and responsible citizens who feel we have been abandoned by mainstream political parties and are looking for an alternative. We're exploring the idea of a new political party to speak on behalf of people orphaned by the political process." As for a party name, the leader said organizers are looking at various options. A final decision on a party will come in the next few months, and the general election is in October 2022. However, the group has not yet registered with Elections Quebec, which is a requirement under electoral law. It is difficult to measure the level of support they have, but the original task force created last year has about 850 members that have signed up and $25,000 in the bank. A Facebook page organized for them has about 1,900 subscribers. Standish stressed that should a party emerge, it would be a different group from the task force. This group could potentially pose a problem in some ridings for the Liberal Party, which have traditionally drawn the votes of English speakers in Quebec. The Liberals are in a tough spot, looking for ways to boost support with the Francophone majority without alienating its base of Anglophone and Allophone voters. The group's website, exploratorycommittee.ca, says, "Linguistic, educational, and religious rights are under attack. Since the election of the Coalition Avenir Quebec in 2018, we have seen unjust laws proposed or adopted, Bill 21, Bill 40, and Bill 96. Join concerned Quebecers to build a party that respects and will fight for you in the National Assembly." The website also says that organizers are serious, established, responsible citizens who have been abandoned by mainstream political parties, who believe Quebecers deserve a better option. We are exploring the prospect of a new political party to speak on behalf of people orphaned by the political process, English speakers, allophones, French speakers, and Indigenous peoples. We are looking to our communities and all of Quebec society for support and input as to our next steps. The group says it stands for minority rights, linguistic rights, Indigenous rights, religious freedom, bilingualism, national unity, and unifying Quebecers in a common purpose. Now, I have several questions for you about this party. What do you think about this party? Do you think that there is a need for a provincial political party that really hones in on the English-speaking community and fighting for their rights? Do you think that that's necessary, and do you think that that's a vital option for people in the upcoming elections? And I'm curious, if you were this party who is going to support English speakers, allophones, francophones, and Indigenous people, what would you name it? This piece of news will be an interesting one to keep track of as we lead up to the provincial elections in October. And that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Rhiannon with CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'll talk with you next week.